Well, we're all painting some kind of picture this morning. These are your prayers as we stand before you. We feel very humble this morning. I don't know if that means I'm humble or not, but I feel that way. I don't know, a while back I got a couple of cracked ribs or whatever, and I wanted to go down to La Ronger to the meeting down there and had a little business down there that I needed to take care of besides being in the meeting. But my daughter-in-law, Jeannie, she told me, said, well, the only way I'll let you go is if you'll promise to keep quiet while you're down there. And so she knew how things were. And so I gave her my word that I'd try to keep quiet. And so I went down there and was in the meeting, and I kept pretty quiet by the help of the Lord. But I confess it was kind of hard to do. So thought about coming out here and had a little more warning that I needed to kind of try to take it easy. But I don't know. When I'm in a meeting, I just can't get much out of it unless I get into it. If I don't get into the meeting, I just being a spectator, I don't get very much out of that. I know we all can't get up here and preach and all, but I like to get into the meeting to get something out of it. So I appreciate, I've got a lot of good out of this meeting here. I appreciate being here. Blessing I've received, and I believe I feel better physically and spiritually since I've been here. So thank the Lord for that. Appreciate everyone that's here. I believe the thought that we have on our heart this morning, mentioned in prayer, I believe that the Lord knows everybody that's here. And I believe what I have on my mind this morning will, I hope anyway, will touch every one of us in the building that's old enough to understand. And I believe, I hope it will, and Lord will bless. Some time ago, I was in a meeting and place, and revival meeting, and I had preached all week long about it, every night, and preached hard, and everything I felt like the Lord gave me to preach, and wasn't much respond, and wasn't much, I don't know if anybody had come to the altar or not. So I was getting a little bit, I don't know, impatient maybe or something, and I began to pray, Lord, I don't know nothing else to say. I don't know anything else to preach. Preach to these people all week long and not much respond. And just, so the Lord, I was there looking to God for something, and the Lord said, well, just plead with them. Plead with them. And so this morning I would feel like the Lord would like to plead with us for a while this morning. Plead with us. It's amazing how that the Lord has done so much for humankind, and it's amazing that the sacrifice that he made that we might be saved and that we might have life and have it more abundantly, and it's kind of amazing of all the good things that he has to offer to us. And yet seemed like down through the ages of time that he's had to plead with people to accept that. Had to plead with them to do that. He came and offered it to him, and they just would reject it, and been the history of Israel down through their lifetime, and the people to reject and refuse. The Bible said he was despised and rejected of men. But still, I'm amazed at the mercy of God and how that he pleads, continuing right on pleading with people. Even though they reject him, and even though they ride over his mercy, and even though they get all involved and no time and no room and no place, but then we'll hear him whispering in our ear, speaking through his word, pleading with us. And that's the long-suffering of God, I'm sure. I'm glad the Lord pleaded with me as he did. I'm glad he didn't get tired of pleading with me. I'm glad that when I refused him and rejected him and no time for him or no place for him or no room for him, I'm glad he didn't quit pleading with me. Many times, if you heard me say, the Lord especially dealt with me for about 7 years before I don't recommend that, and I'm sorry about that. But many, many times, the Lord, when I was in great distress and great trouble, I'd hear the Lord say, "Son, give me your heart. Give me your heart, and I'll take care of these things." I've seen and wept and prayed, and the Lord pleading with you, and still I do that. And so the Lord is pleading with us this morning. And we want to plead with you a little while this morning through his word. I noticed all down through the Bible, all every period of time, all the prophets, all the kings, and all right on down to this day and age, there's a message that goes all through the Bible that's pleading with the people, pleading with them. Familiar scripture here in the chapter 18th chapter of Jeremiah. Said, "I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemeth good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel." I noticed him here saying, "O house of Israel." And when he put that "O" there, seemed to me like that's a little extra plea. Get their attention. Listen to me. "Oh." You know, you hear one of the children holler, "Oh," something, you wonder what's happened. It draws your attention, doesn't it? So the Lord is here crying out, "Oh, house of Israel, cannot I do with you like this potter's doing with this clay? Cannot I just take you into my hands and just mold you and shape you and make out of you just what I want you to be? O house of Israel," pleading to a rebellious people and to a stiff-necked people and to a people who had a history of rebelling against the Lord. But still we hear him pleading with us this morning. "O house of Israel." And the Lord is still pleading this morning to you and I. "Cannot I have you? Cannot I not take you into my hands? And will you not submit yourself to me? Will you not dedicate your life wholly to me. You know, we had a message in the media already about God's will, or doing the will of God or something like that. Don't you know the Lord can't do anything with us until we have surrendered our will to Him? God can't do anything with us. One thing God don't do, and that is to ride over people's will. God don't do that. God, we hear in the Bible, we hear it said that God can do anything. Well, He can. But that's one thing the Lord won't do. He won't ride over our will. Everybody in the church of God, everybody in the family of God, everyone is a volunteer this morning. God don't draft anybody. He don't make anybody serve Him. He don't make nobody get saved. He don't force anybody to work for Him. He don't force anybody to live for Him. He don't force anybody to measure up for Him. He don't force them to do that. But He pleads with them. O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter is doing with this clay? Cannot I just get you in my hand to where I can just mold you and make? Didn't Paul say we're His workmanship or something like that, created by Christ Jesus? Don't you know this morning that we don't know what we're good for? We don't know where we could be best used of the Lord. We don't know what the best place for us to be in the body. We don't know the best calling the Lord might have for us. But what the Lord is looking for this morning and what He's pleading for is a people who will just surrender their whole heart and life and just yield themselves holy to God. And Lord, here I am, Lord. Take me and mold me and shape me and place me and fix me. Lord, just make out of me a vessel. You know, that's all the Lord's looking for this morning. He don't need our intellect. He don't need our education. He don't need our ability. He don't need that. All He's looking for and pleading for is a people or somebody that will just surrender their life to Him. Somebody who will just dedicate and turn loose and just be like that clay in the potter's hand, just making that vessel. And what He wants to do is make a vessel that's sanctified and meet for the Master's use. Not for our own use, but for His use. Not for what we want, not for how we want it, not what we want to do, not what we'd like to do, not what we think about it, but what I want to do. Just make out of you what He would have me to be. I still hear Him pleading this morning, pleading for folks. Cannot I make out of you? Oh, house of Israel. Oh, people of God. Won't you yield yourself holy? Won't you make a middle of the earth? The Bible said over there, behold, I stand at the door and knock. We use that scripture preaching evangelistic message centers, which is very good scripture. But that scripture was addressed to the church. That was addressed to the church. Oh, house of Israel, oh, people of God, cannot I come in? Will you not open a little door? Will you not give me a little more space in your life? He stands there knocking and pleading, and He won't shove the door in, and He won't break it down, but He stands there and knocks on the door. Oh, house of Israel, oh, church of God, oh, people of God, Will you open up and let me come in? Will you make a little more room for me? That's what he's saying. Will you make a little more room for me in your life? Will you shed some things? Will you lay off some things? Will you put down some things? Will you sacrifice some things? Will you give up some things? Will you lay aside some things that I might have a little more room in your life? That's what he's looking for this morning and pleading for. Oh, behold, I stand at the door and knock. You know, sometimes we get so cluttered in our lives and we get so involved and we get so entangled with affairs of life and we get so involved and it's just a complicated age and the Bible said it'd be a perplexed time and all those kind of things. But oh, then we hear the Lord. We hear the Lord. Had a vision some time ago, and I seen a whole herd of people. I seen a great mass of people just going on their way, just crowding and pushing and shoving and hurrying along and running along. It seemed like in my mind I could see Jesus going along behind, tapping them on the shoulder, trying to get a conversation with them, trying to talk to them, trying to get them in a place to where he could speak to their heart, speak to their mind. Oh, house of Israel, cannot I do with you? Cannot I plead with you? Will you not allow me room and space in your life? Will you not give me a place in your life whereby that I can take you and mold you and shape you and fix you and make you a vessel of honor, a vessel of honor, meat for the master's use. Mean that meat there means somebody that's there, available, somebody that I can use to my glory to do. I hear him pleading this morning with us, every one of us this morning. I pray the Lord will help us this morning. There's a scripture here in the book of Micah, I believe it is. Still pleading this morning. The Lord's still pleading. Here it is in the sixth chapter of the book of Micah. It said in the third verse, O my people, there's that same cry out again. O my people, O my people. Listen to what he said. What have I done to thee? What have I done to thee? The Lord is pleading here and even looked like kind of, what have I done? What have I done? Kind of looked like, Lord help us. You ever blame yourself? You know, I have a battle with that sometimes. What more could I have done? Why didn't you do more? At every service, I don't know, they're serious to me, but when I see a lack of respond and I see a lack of people responding to the word, then I have a battle sometimes. What did you do? What did you do? What? Then I see people backslide and I see him give up God and I see him turning away from the Lord. I see him going out into sin. I see people who'd once saved, once had a testimony, once had the victory, once was able, a blessing to the church, a blessing to the cause of God. Then I see him going along and I see him turning away from God and I see him going back into the world. I see him taking up with things that they'd once destroyed, and then I have to battle the devil. I guess this is the hardest job a pastor has, I guess, is to preach and preach and teach and teach, and then folks backslide right under the preaching. And then you say, what did I do? The devil said, if you'd have preached more stronger, why then they wouldn't have done that. Or if you'd have had more compassion, if you'd have been a little bit lighter, or you hadn't have been so strong, or if you'd have done it a little bit different, maybe they wouldn't have done that. And you got to wrestle with it all night, and you got to sit up and worry with it and fret with it, lose sleep over the thing, lose your appetite over the thing. People going right on in their sin. And here you're battling that devil and saying, what did I do? What did I do? We find the Lord here saying, oh, what did I do? What did I do? You that are here this morning that's gone away from the Lord, what did he do? Why did you leave him? Why did you leave him? I challenge you this morning to find any fault with God. What did he do? Oh, I know people disappoint you sometimes, and I know there's a lot of things around, hangs around, and I know if you want to see something, you can see it, and I've been very disappointed in a lot of people. I've been hurt in a lot of people, but God ain't never done anything to me. I never have been able to understand why people turn away from God. I'm not... Somebody get offended or somebody hurt somebody or something. I'm not going to church no more. I'm going to quit going to church. I quit praying. I've never been able to understand that. Why would I turn away from God just because what somebody else does? I heard that explained like somebody mistreats you on the job and you go home and beat your wife up because somebody out on the job didn't treat you right. Well, your poor wife didn't do anything. She was just there at home cleaning the house and cleaning, taking care of the children and fixing your supper and everything. And just because somebody gave you a bad day, you go home and jump on your wife. That's almost the same thing, isn't it? Just because something don't go right around the church or around the congregation or somebody offend you or somebody hurt you or somebody speaks out of turn or something happens along the way, and what do? You turn away from the Lord, and then the Lord stands there and says, what did I do? What did I do? I never done nothing to you. I never failed you. Nobody in here can say the Lord ever failed him. Nobody in here can say the Lord ever turned his back on you. Can't say that. Why would I turn away from the Lord? The very friend that I need, the very one that I depend on, my whole life, my soul, my future, eternity, death, and hell, all depends on my relationship with God. What did I do? The Lord said, what did I do that caused you to act like you're acting? Why you turned me away for? I haven't done nothing to you. The Lord help us this morning. Oh, what did I do? He said, oh, my people, what have I done unto thee? And wherein have I worried thee? What are you blaming me for? Why do you forsake me? Why do you go on living against me? Why did you turn away from me? I never done nothing to you. All I did was die for you. That's all I did. All I did was give my life for you. All I did was bear with you, long suffering with you, patient with you, saved your soul. All I did is protect you, healed your children, yes, answered your prayers, and then you turn away from me. Then you turn away from me. Then you go and take your own way. And then you turn away from the Lord, turn away from the truth, turn away from God. And the Lord standing there, what did I do? Why did they turn their back on me? Why don't they live for me? Why did they go on doing what they're doing? Why do they act that way? I never done anything. hear the Lord pleading. What did I do? Isn't that something? That the great God of creation, the God that holds our breath in his hand, the Lord who put the moon and the stars and hung the earth out in space, an eternal God with all power and all in heaven and earth, and then he would stand there and kind of look like taking the blame almost. Kind of blaming himself almost for a poor little old human being that turned her back upon God and went to her own way. The great eternal God would condescend to come down and plead with a poor little old human being like us. Oh, it ought to make us fall on our face, shouldn't it? It ought to make us bow down. It ought to cause us to humble ourselves and say, Lord, I'm ashamed that I ever turned my back on you, that I ever failed you, that I ever taken my own way, that I've ever grieved you, Lord. Some of the worst things I've ever had to endure in my life since I've known God is those times that I feel like that I grieve the Lord. It hurts me so bad to feel like I grieve the Lord. And I guess we all may be guilty of that sometime or another. But oh, it's hard for me to forgive myself. Why would I want to grieve the Lord when he's done so much? Why would I allow myself to be careless? Why would I allow myself to live a loose, shoddy life? Why would I grieve the Lord and get careless and involved and tangled and grieve the Lord, be a stumbling block to the cause of God, be a hindrance to the work of the Lord, bring a reproach on the name of Christ? Why would I do that when I know God? Without him, I wouldn't have no life. I know I didn't have no life. You folks heard me tell that a lot of times. I didn't have nothing to live for. And I sure wasn't ready to die. And I didn't have no future to look forward to. All I had was a broken life and a broken old run-down body, drunken sot, nicotine filled. And God came along and pleaded with me. Oh, Lord, help us today. Pleaded with me. Now, if there's anybody in the world that wasn't worthy to be pleased with, it surely might have been me. But we heard last night, God loved him. I appreciate that message last night so much. I needed that. Sometimes we feel like maybe God don't love us anymore. But oh, to think then, after the Lord had taken you and you had nothing to give and nothing to offer, just an old wreck of a sinner. And by the way, sin is just sin, no matter what kind it is. But God would take something like that and he'd plead with it. Just keep pleading. Give me your heart. Plead with it. No, sitting in an old bar room somewhere or another. Wife home. Look in the mirror. Lord say, what are you doing in here? What are you doing here? Pleading with. Then wouldn't I be a scoundrel this morning to turn my back on the Lord? Wouldn't that be a terrible thing? For me or you or whoever you might. Maybe you didn't do those things, but it's all the same anyway. But God, what he's done and the sacrifice he made and the love he showed and the way he's been so patient with us and so long-suffering with us and the way that he gave us a new heart and a new life and a new outlook and everything worth living for. Praise God. Gave me a new life. Wouldn't I be a terrible man to turn that away? What did I do? Why aren't you living for me this morning? Why aren't you living? You that are here this morning not living for God. You that are here have been raised around the church and you that have been brought up in the truth. I had a message in Monarch some years ago about a tragedy. A tragedy. It's a tragedy when somebody grows up around the church or anybody, but especially somebody been trained, the saints' children or somebody, to see them turn their back on God, go out in the world and go out and seeking fame and fortune and riches and separating themselves from God. It's a tragedy. It's a very tragedy. But what did I do to you? The Lord said, what did I do that caused you to turn away? Well, we find the Lord pleading with us. Oh, my people. Oh, my people. What have I done to thee? And wherein have I worried thee? Testify against me. Get up this morning. You that are here, that are holding back on God. You that are here have not fully surrendered your life to God. Stand up. Testify. Why? Why aren't you? If you're not saved this morning, why aren't you saved? If you're backslidden away from God this morning, why? Tell me why. Get up and tell what God done. Blame God. Get up and say. You can't do it. You can't do it. You can't get up and testify against God. Because God never did fail you. God never fails you. God never turned his back on you. You turned your back on him. Seems we have a special burden this morning. Feel there's folks here the Lord wants to plead with this morning. Oh, house of Israel. Oh, people of God. Oh, children of God. Oh, backslider. Oh, sinner. Oh, people of the world. Where? What have I done that you're not living for me this day? What have I done to you? What have I done? It's amazing to me. The Lord would stand up here and say, and almost taking the blame himself. Did I do something another? Did I fail? Was you disappointed in me? Did I, somewhere or another, did I make a mistake? No, you can't do that. God don't make no mistakes. God never fails nobody. And so he stands pleading, goes all the way through the Bible. We hear the prophet Isaiah and says, come and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Come and let us reason together this morning. Let's sit down here now. Let's be real this morning. Let's be rational. Let's be honest with our soul. Let's be honest with one another. Let's be honest with God. Come now. The Lord is pleading and saying, come. And let us reason together. Reason with God this morning. I believe if you'll really sit down and really get quiet and really get humble, really get sincere, really open your heart to the Lord, I believe if you'll sit and talk with the Lord a little while, I believe he'll almost convince you. if he can get your time. If he could probably get you in a corner somewhere or another. And I expect that's why the Lord allows some things to happen sometimes. That's what happened to Job, didn't he? Hearing him pleading with Job. What did he say? He said he speaketh yea once and yea twice and in a dream and in a vision. And then he brings men down till his bones stick out. Oh, that's God pleading. That's God pleading. Oh, the Lord is so interested in us being saved this morning. He's so interested in us going to heaven. He's so concerned about you individually this morning that he's doing everything in his power. I've said it before and I say it again. In order to get to hell, you're going to have a hard time getting to hell because you're going to have to ride over all the mercies of God. You're going to have to ride over all the pleadings of God. And you're going to have to ride over all the prayers of the saints. Lord, pleading. I believe the greatest part of the trouble in this world today, I believe people's problems and their troubles and many of their sicknesses. I know sickness is real, but I believe a lot of that. I believe I could be safe in saying the majority of that is the pleadings of God. The pleadings of God. I know how he pleaded with me. I am so glad. I am so thankful that he brought me down to the place to where I had nowhere else to go. I'm glad that I lost my health. God did it. I'm glad the doctors couldn't help me. Thank the Lord. And brought me down pleading with me and pleading with me through his voice. And it's better to turn to him and give him that call first thing. But the pleadings of God, he's not willing that any should perish, but he's doing everything that he can. I remember years ago, young sister had a real good experience with the Lord. Had a bright countenance and just a real fine good testimony and just a blessing to be around. And she got away from the Lord. Got away from the Lord. Backslid. Wound up with something bad wrong with her. Went to the hospital. Went to the doctors. I see that same thing happening time and time again. Went down to the doctor in the hospital. They examined her and they went through her. And they, all those things happened. And they couldn't find out what's wrong with her. The wife and I went and visited. And I said, Ann, there's nobody around here, so you don't know who I'm talking about. I said, Ann, I can tell you what's wrong with you. I said, I can diagnose your case right to the very point. She said, yeah, I know you, I know. I said, Ann, if you come back to the Lord, I said, you can get up and walk out of here today and go home. You can go home. You can go home a well person. And I said, not only that, but I believe that if everybody in this hospital would give their heart to the Lord, I believe the majority of them would get up and go out of here, well people. Amen. The pleadings of God, pleading with the Lord. Why did I say that? Why could I feel that away? Because I know how God pleaded with me. And I know how that he, in his love for me and his desire that I be saved, that he pleaded with me and my health was destroyed and I went down and the doctors couldn't do anything for me. You've heard me say a lot of times, turn me away, the best in the land, nothing I can do for you. And when I finally came down to the place that I answered his plea and I said, Lord, remember one thing I said. Lord, if there's anything you can do for me, have mercy on me, Lord. Well, there was something he could do when I got to that place. Oh, when I came to that little ball of clay, and I said, Lord, I'm at the end of the road. I got nowhere else to go, Lord. If you can do anything for me, have mercy on me, Lord. And God had mercy. And he saved my soul. Lifted the load that I'd carried all those years. Not only that, but I was so blessed and so carried away with my newfound joy that I forgot I'd been sick. And about a couple days later, I happened to think, well, I've not even got my problem anymore. The Lord healed me too. I was sick no more. 15 years, I never knew what a sick day was. Still pretty good shape. Lord help us. Been my healer. Haven't taken anything. I was taking 7 different kinds of medicine. Had a standing appointment with doctors and psychiatrists and all those kind of things. Haven't been to one since. Haven't taken any medicine either. 38 years now. Still pretty good shape for being an old man anyway. God pleads with us this morning. Oh, the devil. I know we're all busy this morning, but I'm afraid the devil is using this here time that we're living in to cause so many people to be so busy that they're neglecting their soul. I know we're all busy, but I want to tell you this morning, throw this in anyway. When you get too busy to take time alone with God, you're too busy. You're too busy. When you begin to neglect your soul, you're too busy this morning. Oh, if you don't have time to serve the Lord, you're too busy this morning. And it'll pay you to lay some things down. It'll pay you to cut some things off. If it's drifting, if it's interrupting your relationship with God, if you find yourself cooling off in your experience, you find yourself with not having that closeness to God you once had, you'll be wise to cut some things off. Come, he said, let us reason together. It's been all the way down through like that. Over in the book of Proverbs, a very familiar scripture. First chapter of Proverbs, he said, how long, ye simple one, will you love simplicity? And the scorner delight, they're scorning the fool, hate knowledge. Listen to him. Turn you at my reproof. Hear him pleading. Turn. Turn. Hey, you're going the wrong way. You ever get on the wrong road? You ever make a wrong turn? I remember sometime years ago, I was in a hurry to get somewhere or another. Going up in Ohio. I got up there somewhere or another and I made a wrong turn. And I'm just driving. I'm a place I had to find was out in the country. And I said, if I don't get there before dark, I never will find that place. And I'm just a hustling, and I'm a pushing, and I'm a getting along there. And I stopped at the filling station and I asked the guy how much far it was to Springfield, Ohio. He said, which way are you going? I said, well, I'm going that way. He said, buddy, you'll never get there that way. You're heading for the Ohio River, he said. I'd gone the wrong way. I'd made a wrong turn. And I was going the wrong direction. Listen this morning. If you've turned away from God, you're going the wrong way. You're on the wrong road. You're going in the wrong direction. Turn ye, I hear him saying in another place. Turn ye, why will you die? I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Turn ye. There he is, standing there pleading again. Turn ye, turn ye, turn ye. Why will you die? Why will you die? Pleading with you this morning. Oh, turn ye. turn you at my reproof. And behold, listen what he's saying. And I'll pour out my spirit unto you. And I will make known my word unto you. If you'll just turn to me. You want to know the Lord's will? You just turn to him. Turn to him. You want to know what your problem is? Just turn to him. He'll reveal himself to you. Just turn to him. Don't you hear him? Listen. Listen real close. You can hear him, can't you? Hear him pleading. Pleading. Turn ye. I hear him speaking to the world today. Turn ye. Turn from your wicked way. Turn from the way you're going. You're on the wrong road this morning. If you're away from God, you're on the wrong road. Turn back. Turn back. Read a story some time ago about some fellows got up there to Niagara Falls there in New York. And they were coming down the river in a boat. And they had signs along there. Turn back. Turn back. They was getting down too close. Turn back. And they didn't take heed to the sign. And I understand this river that comes down there before the falls. When you get in a certain, you know, distance of it, that the pull of the current for this great fall, when you pass a certain mark there, well, you're not able to turn back around. But they've got signs all along there. Turn back. Turn back. I hear the Lord saying that today. Turn back. You're going the wrong way. Turn ye. And the story was that they got down there and they realized they'd passed the point of no return. They'd passed the point of no return. Now, I don't know where that is in life. I don't know. That's something I never know. I've never been able to figure out. But I believe there's people that passes that place. They pass that place. They've rejected God so long. They refused the Lord so long. And I had a Baptist preacher one time ask me, do you believe people that the Lord ever just quits dealing with people? That he just lets them go and quits dealing with them? I said, well, see, maybe the scripture might bear that out. But I said, I like to think about it like this. I don't believe it's God that quits dealing with us. But I believe it's people who reject the Lord, refuse his call, refuse to turn to him, refuse to hear his voice, keep riding over his mercy, quit going against all the signs that said come and turn back and return. And they keep going on and going on till they get so far away that even though the Lord speaks, they can't hear him. They've gotten so far away from God. They've got their lives so entangled. They've got their lives so involved by rejecting the call of God, rejecting and refusing the Lord, that they've gotten themselves in such a place that they can come into a Holy Ghost meeting and revival meeting or camp meeting or whatever and sit there and listen to the Word of God, and it seems like it just goes over their head and it seems like it don't affect them at all. Oh, but the Lord is so merciful. I'm glad for those that he pleads with. I'm glad for those he keeps in dealing with. I'm glad for those that are coming back to the fold. And all are still pleading this morning. Turn ye, turn ye. Turn back to the Lord. Oh, why will you die, O house of Israel? I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Can't you hear him pleading this morning? Turn ye. Turn you to the Lord. All the way through. It seemed like the Lord, just every preacher, seemed like this was the message every preacher had, seemed like. Paul over here, he says, 5 and about 20 maybe, it says here, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled unto God." That's the message all the way through. I was touched with that thought this morning. Almost every book in the Bible, Solomon, the prophet, Isaiah, Solomon, or the wise men, all down through the way, Christ. Now we hear the apostle, heard, he said here. Oh, listen, he said to you, "We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled unto God." The plea is going out this morning. If you're away from God, the plea is, be reconciled to God. God wants you to come and be reconciled with Him. That's the message. The Lord said, if when you can't preach nothing else, just plead with them. If they won't take warning, if they won't take instruction, if they won't hear, continue to plead with them. And that's about the only message I know today. Some folks seem like the world we're living in today has got so rebellious. Seem like the gospel today to a lot of people don't seem to affect. And I wondered about that too. And the thought came to my mind where the Bible said that Jesus did not many mighty works because of their unbelief. And I thought, well, if he didn't do many mighty works because of their unbelief, then the gospel don't do many mighty works, for there's a lot of unbelief either. The gospel don't have that fact where there's a lot of unbelief. But God is still pleading this morning. He's pleading with the sinner. He's pleading with the backslider. And he's pleading with the church. Pleading with all of us this morning. Cannot I take you? We hear him saying it all the way back over into the very end of the book. Starts in the beginning, finish up in the end. Oh, it said, "And the Spirit and the bride says, come." We hear the Spirit of the Lord pleading with folks today. We hear the minister getting up, pouring out their heart. Dedicate your life to the Lord. We hear him pouring out your heart. Make a deeper consecration with God. Give the Lord a little more room in our life. Lay aside every weight that would hinder us from running this race. We hear that, don't we? That isn't the preacher. That's the burden of God. That's God's burden. That's the burden of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not the ministers, only that, well, it's some God working through them. But pleading with folks this morning, make a little more room in your life for me. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. You're so busy, you don't have no time for me today." Oh, what's the song says? Time for business, time for pleasure, time to revel on in sin, but no time for Jesus. Oh, saints, this morning, this is a snare. This little busy world, and I know we're busy, and I'm not against people working and all those kind of things, but it is a snare to steal all of our time, to get us so enwrapped up and so involved with the cares and duties of life, get so much on hand, get so much involved, that we don't have no time for the Lord. And we hear him pleading with us, "I'm knocking on the door. Will you make a little more room for me in your life? I'd like to use you a little more. There's something about you that I'd like to fix." You know, that potter, that clay, he just got to keep it running around. You know, puts it on that wheel and it just grinds. He shapes it and molds it. All the rough places have to come off. Then they tell me that if that clay gets a little hard or not easy to manipulate, that he'll take it down there and lay it down there and beat it, soften it up a little bit. But oh, the Lord wants us just to be pliable in his hand. Oh, house of Israel, cannot I do with you? And I hear the bribes, the Spirit saying, come, come closer to me. Oh, the song says, come closer, my child, to thee. If there ever was a time that we need to live real close to God, it must be today. There's so many snares and so many traps. And the church today is going through some of the greatest trials I guess it ever went through with. Oh, we're not being burned at the stake. And the greatest danger there is today, he said Satan is going to be loosed and he's going to be out and going to go out and deceive the nations. Oh, there's a great danger in being deceived. My prayer is to God time and time again, Lord, I don't want to be deceived, Lord. I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to think I'm something that I'm not. I don't want to testify to something that I'm really not. I don't want to believe something, Lord, if it's not right, Lord. My prayer, I don't want to be deceived. The greatest danger, one of the greatest dangers of the church today is falling into a deception. The devil going around seeking whom he may devour. But how are we going to escape that? By listening to his plea, his call. When he says, come closer to me, my child. Oh, come closer. When he begins to point something out in our life, when he begins to lay his hand on something or another that we're doing or not doing, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. The Spirit says, come. The Spirit says, come. It's all the way through the Bible. I noticed that how almost you can take any book in the Bible, you could find something in there along this line. The Lord pleading, 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 pleading. Why did he do that? Well, like we heard that last night. He loves us. He loves us. Because he don't want us to be lost. And he said the spirits and the bride. Well, we know who the bride is. The church. The church. The church has a burden for you this morning. The bride and the bridegroom and the Spirit all saying, come this morning. Come. Come, let us reason together. Come. Open the door up a little bit. Can I come in? Will you move something? You know, sometimes to make room in a house or something, for something to come in, you got to get something else. Maybe your house has got so cluttered. Maybe you got some furniture sitting around that don't need to be there anymore. And the Lord coming along and he's knocking on the door. You may have to move some things out to give him a little more room. A little more room in there for the Lord. Can you hear him pleading this morning? Can you hear him? Oh, he said he how's that read? He made a vineyard. You remember what Isaiah said? He made a vineyard there, and he taken out all the stones, and he fixed it all up just right, and put a fence around it, and he built a tower and a thing. And he said he looked for grapes. Well, let me doing damage to the scripture. Oh, it says here. And he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with choicest vine, built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a wine press therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. I think something here, get a little personal. I think about some of the saints' children. over the years. I've seen a lot of them come and go in the last 38 years. A lot of them come up among the saints. And I've seen them get saved, sang at Monarch, testify, and all just had such desire, such fervency, such zeal. And oh, the Lord, I'm sure the Lord had great plans for that. Oh, that's one of mine. Look at him. He wanted that person. Oh, he'd saved that young person, had a lot of strength and a lot of ability and had a lot of zeal and vigor. Oh, the Lord kind of looked back on that individual. Oh, that's something there. I'm really going to get some good out of that one. They're just going to dedicate their life to me, and they're going to surrender to me, and they're going to turn themselves over to me, and I'm going to take them in my hand, and I'm going to make something special out of them. Oh, I wonder. Oh, there's so many out there today that wandered away from the fold. May the Lord help. One scripture said, the Bible said, how does it go there? They're talking about Israel. It said, they limited the Holy One, Israel. They limited God. God had great plans. And the Bible said that salvation is of the Jews. God had a great plan made out, and he came, and he was going, coming to his own people. He had ideals. I'm going to go to them people, and I'm going to send my son to them, and they're going to accept him, and this gospel is going all over the world. But he came unto his own, and they didn't receive him. They fouled up his plans. But as many as received him, he gave them power to become the sons of God. And he sent them out and he used them. But just think for a moment what would have happened if all those Jews had accepted him. Just think about us folks, right among the people of God, the church of God, the saints of God. If all those had been raised around a family altar and around the truth, had it remained faithful to God. My. This thing would have been all over the world. This truth, we'd have had congregations a lot of different places. We'd have had missionaries, we've heard a lot about in the media. Just saying. But I looked for something another. I made a plan. I made everything just right. I didn't leave nothing undone. I gave my all, and I fixed a perfect plan of salvation for the redemption of mankind, and I fixed it up just right. I died. I suffered. I gave my life. I gave my son. I didn't withhold one thing. And now I come looking for, what did he say? I come looking for grapes, and they brought wild grapes. Wild grapes are something that's sour, isn't it? Used to go out and pick those things, and they're just so sour you could hardly even eat them. And the Lord, probably folks right here this morning, that God had great hopes for your life when you got saved. He had something he wanted you to do. He might have had a special calling for you. And when he came looking at you, he was expecting to find some fruit there. And all he found was some wild grapes. Somebody who'd gotten bitter. Somebody who'd got offended. Somebody who had got involved and tangled in the affairs of this life. And got so involved that they producing nothing but sour grapes. But listen what he says. Here it is again. And he said, now, O inhabitant of Jerusalem, men of Judah, judge, I pray you betwixt me and my vineyard. Listen what he said. Here he is, blaming himself, seemed like. He said, What could have I done more to my vineyard? Didn't I do it this right? What more could I have done? I done everything. I put a fence around the thing. I took out all the stones. I built a tower. I done everything that I know to do to make it just right. What more could I do? What more can God do than He's already done? What more can He do for us folks than He's already done? He's made provisions. He's made a way for us. He sent His Son into the world and He died. And He not only died, He didn't stop there. When He went away, He sent the Holy Ghost back into the world to endure us with power that we might be overcomers. Didn't leave nothing undone. Never withheld one thing. And also, He didn't stop there. He had a book written for us to go by. And He said it's good for reproof and instruction that the man of God might be truly furnished. What more could He done? He gave His Son. He gave the Holy Spirit. He gave His Word. He gave His mercy. He gave His grace. He gave His power. He gave everything that He had that you and I might be takers of the life. What more could I do? I feel a little bad about that. Lord, You couldn't have done any more. I'll testify for the Lord. I'll hold up for Him right here. I don't believe He could have done any more. I believe He done everything He could do. I believe He done it all. And He done it just right. And I don't think there's anything else He could do. And I believe that God's doing the very best for every one of us here this morning that He can do. I believe he's honoring every bit of faith we have. I believe He's answering every prayer of faith that's prayed. I believe He's pleading with our hearts. He's inviting us to dedicate our life more deeper to Him. And if you're here this morning and you're away from God, I am convinced and I know for a surety that God is pleading with your soul. I know that so. I know when a meeting like this is going on and prayers and going up and the saints are praying and agreeing in prayer, I know God's working. I know that. We've had people to get saved like that. It seemed like in the last few years in revival meetings saying, I have more people get saved that don't come to church than the ones that come. They're out there. And we're here. And God's dealing with them over there. They get where they can't sleep. One man called one night. We did a revival meeting. And he called up there and said, tell them folks quit praying. He said, I can't sleep. He said, I got to go to work and I've not been able to get any sleep for the last 2 or 3 nights. I ain't been able to sleep. I said, don't stop praying. Let's pray more. A day or two later, he came and got saved. Still saved today. I believe God's doing all He can do for us, folks. I believe God's working in every way that He can, everything He can find to work with. I believe God's working with that thing this morning. Hear Him this morning pleading with you. What more could I have done? What more could I have done? What could I have done more to my vineyard that I have not done it yet? What more could I have done? Anybody in here got any suggestions? What more could God do than He's already done? What more could He have done? He made a perfect plan. He provided everything you need. He gave you grace. We heard about this in the meeting. My grace is sufficient for you. I'll stand by you. I'll give you grace to face everything you meet. You believe that? God didn't withhold a thing. And now He's pleading with you this morning. Turn ye, come ye, turn ye, come ye. Can I not just take you this morning? Oh, that's what the Lord wants. You know, the Lord made it so simple, didn't He? You know, if this thing had to be through personal intellect or ability for education, or I'd have been left out. I'm glad the Lord fixed it to where I could even be a part of this. All I had to do. It's so easy to live for God. Yes, it is. It's so simple to live for God. All you have to do. Mentioned here the other day in a meeting maybe or something. A couple of words will help you to keep victory all the time. All the time. Just two words will help you to have victory all the time. And that is obedience and submissiveness. Those things that you know God requiring, obey. Obey. Anything you know the Lord requires, obey that. And if it's something you don't understand and you don't comprehend, you haven't got light on it, just submit it to God. And you'll have power. You'll have victory all the time. Oh, let us hear the plea this morning. Oh, house of Israel. Oh, people, people. And I thought about how Jesus finally came down. And he even answered it was too late. He still was pleading. And he looked over to that old city. And he seen a people who had refused all of his invitations. He looked over a people that wouldn't heed the call. He looked over a people that wouldn't yield itself to him. And he looked over him and he wept. Wept about the whole thing. And he says, how often? Oh, would I have gathered you together? He said, I sent unto you the prophet. I sent the prophets to you. Many times, time and time again, I sent my prophets unto you. And he said, then I know what I'll do. I'll send my son. And they'll accept him. He had good hopes. He felt like they would accept his son. But what did they do? This is the heir. Let's get him and let's get rid of him and we can have it all to ourselves. I've done everything I could do for you. I sent the prophets. I sent my son. I've done everything. I knew what to do. And you still refused and you still rejected. And now, ain't nothing left. When I reject all of God's mercy, and I reject his pleadings, and I reject his invitations, and I fail to heed his instructions, there's nothing left. There's nothing left but destruction. That's all that's left. God, we heard last night, God don't send folks to hell. God didn't want to destroy that old city. He didn't want to destroy those people. But when we reject all of the pleadings and all the invitations and all the begging and we stand here time and time again, I marvel at the saints' patience. Just sang song after song after song. Pleading, will you come, will you come, will you come? When it ought to be the other way around. Folks ought to be saying, I wish that preacher would shut up and sit down. I want to go to the altar. Looks like it ought to be that way. Place of us having to plead with people, looks like they'd be glad to hear the good word. Oh, I heard a way out. I've got this problem. I'm in this battle. I've got this destruction. My health's gone. My heart, my marriage is breaking up. My children's going astray. My trouble, my health's being gone. Oh, I'm in trouble. I don't know where to turn to. The doctors failed me. The drugs don't help me anymore. What am I going to do? Oh, I heard a good word. The preacher said if I would come to the Lord, he would save me and he would heal me. You'd think folk would run to that, wouldn't you? But no. Just seemed like the nature of man to reject the Lord. Let's stand and have a song. Appropriate. Hear his gentle voice pleading for you this morning. I know it's Sunday morning, but if you're here, you're away from God, and you hear the pleadings of His Spirit with your heart, we'd like to pray with you this morning. Could we invite you to come back to God? If you're here and you've drifted away from God, could we invite you to come back this morning? If you're here and you've not been living as close to God as you know you ought to be, you feel condemned about the way you've been living, could we invite you to come this morning, rededicate your life to the Lord? Come, how we sing. I was just thinking a little more of the faithfulness of God. I was just thinking that I look back over my relationship with God, and I don't ever remember a time when I began to get a little slack in my soul. I began to get a little indifference, or I began to get a little negligent in my prayer life, in my time alone with God. I can't remember a time right now that God wasn't faithful to remind me of that. Every time. The faithfulness of God. Every time I'd He'd do that. He'd come along through a message, through His Word, through His Spirit. Somehow or another, He'd point out. And God is like that. He's just continually pleading with folks. Anytime He sees one of His children going astray, I know He's there pleading with them this morning. And I know this morning, if you're here this morning, God's pleading with you this morning. If you're here and you're away from God, you're turning down His pleading one more time. Turning it down one more time. We're not counting how many people come to the altar. But we would that you would hear His plea, hear His call. This is all we know. See, this is as far as Jesus can go. And this is as far as the preacher can go. It's like I told him before a while ago. I said, Lord, I don't know anything else. I've preached repentance. I've preached His love. I've preached judgment. Lord, I've been preaching about 7 or 8 days already. Well, the Lord said, plead with Him. Plead with Him. And that's what He's doing here this morning. Pleading with us. Pleading with the church. Pleading with us folks. To give Him a little more room in our life. He wants to take you and use you. But you have to be submissive and willing for God to use you. He wants to use everybody. Man, I want everybody to preach or anything like that. But He has something He wants to use every one of His children. He got a job for every one of them. And the thing about it is I tell the children in school sometimes, you don't know what the Lord wants you to do. You didn't have nothing to do with the way you look. It wasn't my fault that I had a long, crooked nose. That wasn't my fault. The Lord made me that way. I didn't have nothing to do with how tall I am or what color hair I've got, what color eyes I have. I didn't have nothing to do with that. And the Lord made me like I am. That's why He wants us to be ourselves. He don't want us to look like somebody else or the world either way. And I told the children in school, I said, you didn't know how to make yourself. Now you don't know what to do now, the Lord. You don't know what to make out of yourself. But God wants to get a hold of you. And He, just like He made you physically, He'll make you spiritually. He'll make you spiritual what He wants you to be. And then when He does, He'll place you right in the body as it pleases Him. And it'll be to edify in the glory of God. And you'll be satisfied in your little place that God puts you in there. But He can't do it unless you live, be like that little clay in His hand. Then He'll make you. I can't choose. I don't know. I wouldn't know whether I'd be a preacher or not. I don't know nothing like that. You don't either. But God, if God can get a hold of you and get you like that clay in his hand, then he'll make a vessel of honor to him this morning. So if you want to know what the Lord's will is, if you want to do something for God, if you have a desire to be more used of God, in place of trying to get it all straightened out, and it's all right to read and search, and the Bible said search the scriptures and study and all those kind of things, and get all the ability you can. There's nothing wrong with that. But that isn't what God's looking for. He wants you. He wants you and me. He knows what we're best suited for. He knows where we can best be used. But he's looking for a people, an individual, that will just be as clay in the potter's hand. So, if you're troubled this morning, what the will of God is in your mind, if you don't know what the Lord wants you to do, if you got a zeal and a desire to work for God, the thing to do is just yield yourself. And let God just make you what he wants you to be. And he'll make a vessel of honor. He'll make a vessel of honor out of you. May the Lord bless you this morning.